right, guys, welcome to Puck Off. I'm Fraser Smith and my co-host Joe Bartnick, and our special guest today, Greg Fitzsimmons.
Whoa, heavy hitter.
One of my favorite comics. He is a tremendous comic.
He really is.
And he's a broadcaster. He's
professional broadcaster.
Howard Stern Network. He does it all, man. He's very talented.
We're lucky to have him.
We are lucky.
We're stoked. Like, Greg's come. That's awesome.
Yeah. I feel like I'm at the Oscars, except there's nobody attractive, and Ellen DeGeneres isn't making it all about her.
Now, did she?
Oh, she kind of did.
Brutal.
Didn't those bits seem to fall flat?
Well, the pizza delivery bit was sort of like, it was a cute idea to get, let's send
Isn't
out for
that
pizzas
all
for everybody.
Lesbian comedy, though, is a cute idea?
I don't think that lesbianism has anything to do with the show.
Okay.
No, it was just,
that shit comedy? It's a cute idea. Like, that's
I think it was just like she was trying to be casual and like a regular person. Her whole thing is trying to be like a regular person.
Oh.
She's not a regular person. Like you said, she's a lesbian. She's
That doesn't make her an unregular person, though.
Well, I don't know any regular lesbians. I mean, in the sense of like she's not Johnny Sixpack watching the thing.
Right. Well, I hope Johnny Sixpack isn't watching the Oscars, because I consider myself a Johnny Sixpack, and I haven't watched that show since I didn't have to watch what my parents were watching.
No, I was
watching hockey, actually.
I watch every. I love the Oscars.
You do?
I get so angry at how bad they are.
You know what? They are pretty bad, and I watch them too. But Joe, we did our Oscar picks last week. His favorite movie was Bad Grandpa.
It's the only one I saw.
Johnny Knoxville.
Yeah.
Not a bad movie.
Pretty good.
Yes,
yeah.
Well, I saw Goon too.
It was nominated for best makeup.
But
it lost. Yeah.
Was it really?
Yeah.
Wow. Well, what'd you think? So overall, Ellen did how well? Did she do well at all?
You know, she's naturally so gifted, you know, that it wasn't a bomb, but she just made everything about her. She was taking Twitter pictures so that she could put them on her account and having people follow her on Twitter. It was like watching, you know, like an annoying comic who'll go to the Laugh Factory and tell people to follow them from the stage and hand out business cards after the show. And, you know, it's like, You're a star already. You don't need to keep promoting yourself.
She's trying to get Twitter. You're already hosting the Oscars.
Well, some of the stuff just fell flat. The one where she was, not the pizza bit, but the one before that where she was just walking down the aisle talking to people.
Right.
Didn't go anywhere.
Yeah.
Because those people really didn't want to talk.
Yeah. And making costume changes, like she kept, like, maybe somebody gave her access to Elton John's old wardrobes. Storage unit.
Right.
She just, like, all those suits were just so, like, she looked stupid.
Yeah, and at one point, remember she came out, she was going to do a guitar spoof, but clearly doesn't play guitar, and then just kind of gave up on it.
Right.
Walked off.
Right. Yeah. It was a lot of, like, she tries too hard to be funny, like, shtick, like, some of her puns, and anyway, I don't want to sit here and, can we curse?
Yeah, sure.
I don't want to shit on Ellen, but I just want to say
that's the ultimate Hollywood move, though.
But
because you might be on her show one day.
I wrote for her for 2 years.
Oh, well, then
I won four Emmys writing for her.
Oh, congratulations.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Wow, that's awesome. Wow. Oh, so then you really had a horse in that race watching that. So you kind of knew she could do a lot better.
Right.
She is super talented, and I love her stand-up. But I just felt last night did fall flat in a lot of places. It's a hard gig, though.
That's like performing in front of athletes, though. Performing in front of people who just think they're so important.
Right.
And all they do is pretend to be other people. Like, I really, that's why I can't watch you. It's like, really? Did you cure cancer?
Yeah. Well, and to talk about, like, this director, he's heroic and he's so brave.
And he raped his stepdaughter. Is that the one?
Whoa.
Yeah. Exactly. They're all just, I don't know. I could care less.
Directors are crazy, yeah.
Yeah. I could literally care less.
So what did you watch on TV last night?
I watched, here's what I watched. I watched hockey, and then I watched The Ultimate Alaska. You see those nine guys, they race through Alaska. They're like Navy SEALs and mountaineers, and they almost die like three times an episode. No, they have like climbing gear and kayaks. And
damn.
Yeah, it's like nine real men. As opposed to a bunch of guys who wear makeup and pretend to be
men. Like castrating yourself.
I have nothing. Like, I don't know. Like, I just, you know, like, acting is just so.
But you're, you know, but it's true even at the ESPYs.
I used to love
they're a little too self-important, too, sometimes.
To laugh at each other. Like, yeah. I mean, they're not going to, oh, I'm too, like, you know, they can't make fun of LeBron. I used to write on the ESPYs. Like, can't make fun of LeBron because he takes it seriously. It's the same thing of, like the one time I heard, like, the guy was, like, when Chris Rock said, like, who's Jude Law? And, like, they made fun of, like, they, oh, you know who Jude Law. Right. Jude Law could walk in and sit down and talk hockey. I wouldn't know who that
I don't know Jude Law
is either. So it's like, you know, I just think they all take too.
Well, even, you know, when they did the pizza bit last night, when she did the pizza thing, and Harvey Weinstein pulled out $200 and put it in the hat. And she goes, well, it's a start. And he got offended, actually. He was like, start? Yeah.
Yeah.
He was like pissed.
I didn't. It'd have been funny if she did the Spicoli bit, though. If she got a pizza delivered.
Well,
she did.
No, they
brought, that,
yeah,
so they did
yeah.
the fast.
And then they started handing them out to people. And they took like 5 minutes handing them out. Then later on, you get like the people who produced the winning movie, and they've got like 8 seconds to talk because they melt this pizza bit for about 8 beats.
Yeah, that's right. Then their shit gets whittled down.
Right.
They have like 2 seconds, and that's the best film.
And then they show all the – this is my favorite is Sally Field goes up, and she introduces the part where they show all the dead people.
Sure.
Which they should actually show them dead. And she goes, you know – We lost a lot of people this year. Too many, and I was like, "Well, what's the right amount?"
Yeah, right.
Like, what do you mean too many? I mean, death is this thing that happens when you're alive. Was there a tragedy? Was like a 9/11 we didn't know about that we lost too many?
Well, and she went on too long too.
Yeah.
I thought.
Yeah,
too many. Somebody else could have died in that amount of time.
She had a lot of deaths to cover.
Well, you know, the whole thing seemed a little off to me. That's what I'll say.
Well, I hope the outdoor game beat it in the ratings. That's all I have to say.
Was it against the outdoor game?
No, the outdoor game was, well, the other one, the one in Canada, was the outdoor indoor game, the one played in the dome. And they still had their eyes painted black, which was kind of like, you guys are inside.
Yeah, but I hear that is a problem, though, the glare off the ice. In the outdoor game.
Even in the dome, though?
No, it shouldn't be in the
dome. Yeah, the GM place, they shut the roof because it was raining. Well, you watched the blizzard in Chicago, though.
Yeah,
that was
I saw
epic.
That.
Yeah.
And then I saw the one in Detroit or in Ann Arbor.
Right.
Where the puck kept getting lost in the corner. I thought that was kind of cool, though.
There was so much snow that the puck would get lost in the corner. Yeah, that's like how we all played growing up.
When we're growing up, right?
Yeah. I used to play in this rink. I grew up in New York, and there was this rink in White Plains. Or was it Yonkers? I think it might have been Yonkers. And we would play there. And if it was windy out, it was like you were skating dead into the wind.
Right.
And the boards, it was boards, and then instead of glass, they had a chain link fence above it. It was hardcore, man. It was great.
Yeah, that's like wrestling.
What position did you play?
Believe it or not, I played defense.
Right on.
I was, because I grew up, I had a lake near my house. And so from a young age, we used to skate. This is before global warming, where the lake would actually freeze from December.
We were talking
March.
About that, how you used to be able to do that for the
that
whole
lake
winter.
Has not frozen in 15 years.
Wow.
Once.
Wow.
There hasn't been skating once. Every year of my life, we skated for 4 months straight. I mean, we would go there after school because they had lights, they had floodlights they'd put up on these telephone poles, and they had speakers. So they would play the radio station, and the lights would come on so you could skate till 10 o'clock at night. There was this big shack that they built with heat in it so you could change your skates.
Right.
And they'd serve hot chocolate and hot dogs. And, I mean, that was my life. I'd go there on Saturday. I'd be there at 9 o'clock in the morning, and we'd play hockey until 6. Then we go home, have dinner, come back, meet our friends and the girls, and you'd have an 8-pack stored on the side of this lake, and you'd all go off and get high and drink and – it was the greatest.
Those were the days.
But the point is I became a really good skater. So when I started playing high school hockey, I could skate backwards.
That's huge.
Way better than the bigger kids. And so they said, you're playing defense.
Huh.
Right on.
Did you play high school?
Yeah.
And what was your team?
What was the name of the team?
Yeah.
Oh, what were we called? The Bobcats.
Oh, the Bobcats.
The Bobcats.
For what high school?
Rye Country Day School.
Wow.
And we had our own rink.
How were you guys?
Rye, New York.
Yeah, we had our own rink there.
Were you guys good?
We were very good. But I was not very good. I was not a good hockey player. I still play, but I'm not good. I was on the JV team my senior year, which I don't think is legal.
To still be on JV?
I don't think you're allowed to still be on JV when you're a senior in high school. But they liked me, and I was like a captain. I was a guy. I'd make everybody laugh, you know, in the locker room, and then they'd have
the glue guy.
Yeah,
I was the glue guy.
Yeah,
right.
I was the third pairing glue guy.
Right, yeah. Right. And so they let me keep playing, and but the coach taught me, Frank Effinger. He taught me to. I was too small to check with my shoulder, my hip. So he taught me to check with the top of my head, and he would just have me stop and drive my head into the chin of the offensive player.
Nice.
And then I chipped a bone in my neck, one of my vertebrae. I chipped the corner of it.
This was obviously pre concussion
right.
worries
right.
on kids.
It's 1984.
Hey, use your head.
Use your head. Dig it in there.
In football, they call that spearing.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
That's why I love hockey. It's just part of the game in hockey.
Yeah.
Hockey, they call it good defense.
Yeah. That's right. He stood him up. He stood him up.
Yeah, that's what you do at the blue line
it's
in
good
there.
Good technique, man.
So do you have a can? Do you have a decent shot, though?
I have a great shot.
Oh, sweet.
Because also, I played golf growing up. So if you're a golfer...
That helps your hockey.
It helps your slap shot a lot.
Yeah. So you were ready for the. You were ready to be a pro hockey player. You knew how to golf in the summer. You were just
right.
You were destined
right.
to be a blue guy.
I was definitely like, if I had about 50 more pounds and a lot more talent, I think I could. And then I went to Boston University, so of course, like we had so many intramural teams.
Yeah.
We had 113 intramural hockey teams.
Whoa!
So, right. So, well, you know, 30,000 kids, and it's Boston.
Oh,
so,
that's I didn't know there was that big of a school.
Yeah, so my job after school was I was the ref. I would go to the intramural games and the club games, and I ref the game. And as a matter of fact, the varsity women's, I was the referee for those as well.
Wow.
So now, that's interesting there.
I did that for like 4 months a year. I'd go and I'd ref like two, three games after school.
That's cool.
And
if you liked one of the girls, you let her get away with it.
There was a girl I really liked. Yeah. she was from Denver. She wore cowboy boots and a cowboy hat, and she was just like drank with us. She was one of us, but she had beautiful face and a great rack, and you know, and they weren't.
She put the biscuit in the basket.
I think there was a couple lesbians on the team, but for the most part, they were like straight chicks.
How was her game?
Could her game play? Was good.
Yeah,
she was a really strong player, and she played physical.
Hey,
checking, but she was physical.
I was watching the women's hockey in the Olympics. It was
great.
Actually better than most
good.
Of the men's
yeah,
hockey.
Yeah, they're pretty good.
I thought it was great, and I liked that there was no checking. It made the game really move.
Well, they weren't checking very much anyway in the Olympics because it was such big ice and kind of just that weird. I don't even get me started on how much I dislike
the Olympics. He hates that big ice.
I don't like the Olympics in general. I mean,
yeah, the big
not
ice
like
sucks.
The skating. They can skate all they want. I mean, I don't like how they rip up a perfectly good NHL season to go play what amounts to be four good games.
Well, you know who does?
It was four good games.
You know who does like
games.
It, though? The Kings.
The Kings
loved it.
Yeah, they you know, and now even Richards had scored. Yeah, they came. They went. They were terrible. They couldn't win a game. Now they won three in a row.
Yeah.
Right. It was
worked
a good tune-up for them.
Yeah, it was. It worked for them.
It didn't work for Detroit.
No.
Zetterberg, I heard. It didn't work for Pittsburgh. Martin, I heard. It didn't work for Tavares.
Yeah.
I mean, the Islanders. It's
some top-line players went out.
Yeah, like the best player in the biggest market in America is out for the year. I just understand, like, they did.
But what's amazing is that they play, I would argue that they play harder in the Olympics than they even do in the NHL, as opposed to, like, you watch the NBA All-Star game where they're all mailing it in. It's kind of a Globetrotter show. But, like, Olympic hockey, these guys want to play, especially if you're from, like, Finland or, you know, Sweden. They go back. They have such an identity with their country that I think is stronger than it is with their NHL team.
Well, it probably is, sure.
I think a lot of them do. But you watch this May and June, though. Those same guys will be playing really hard for the Stanley. I mean, you can't say that Chara doesn't play hard for the Boston Bruins.
Right.
You know, I mean, I mean, no, they do play hard, though. That's why the four games that were great were great.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it took 3 weeks of NHL hockey to give me four games that were great, and three of them were on at 4 a.m.
Plus, we're just getting
I watched it.
But I mean,
who else did over the strike last year that broke up the season. And now you're coming back. And now, does this add time to the NHL season?
Or no, they just it cut compressed it out? Games.
Oh, okay, got
which
it.
Leads to more injuries.
Right, right.
You know, which, I mean, they can play. I just think that, I just thought a lot of disservices were done to the game. Like NBC, the three guys that played in the gold medal game, that scored in the gold medal game, Kunitz, Crosby, and Taves for the Blackhawks,
right,
all played on the primetime game on NBC on the next Saturday. In the gold medal game, there wasn't one promo for that game.
They didn't promo that at all?
No. So it's like, what's NBC doing? Like, why are you partnering up with them if they're not going to help you out in the big picture?
Well,
the
brackets were set up wrong. I don't know why the U.S. and Canada were on both in the top half of the bracket.
No, that's wrong, don't you think? You want them in the final.
It was the seeding because of the way it ended, though. That's what happened.
Oh, is that how it was? Well,
yeah,
but
they
still.
I mean, I know it's – well, the main thing was Russia got knocked out. Or there would have been a little juice in Ovechkin and Malkin versus U.S. or – like there was when the right – I mean, the most exciting game of the whole thing was –
was that Russian-U.S. game.
It was Russia-U.S. game.
Yeah, but that was a preliminary game. That wasn't even a quarterfinal.
Right. I know exactly. But, I mean, if Finland didn't knock out Russia, then Finland would have
– Now, is Finland really that good? Or, I mean, or did we just kind of give up once we didn't get in the finals?
We kind of gave up, but they're good.
Yeah, I know they got a couple good NHLers. Yeah, we did. We got clocked.
Like 6-1 or something.
But hockey's 5-0.
And you would know this more than any of us because, I mean, well, we've all played a little bit, but you actually played and refereed some big games. If you don't have your heart, you cannot have your heart in basketball and be close. If you don't have the heart to play hockey for a game, you're getting run out of the bit.
Right.
You
right.
know what I mean?
I think also you talk about the bigger rink. I mean, you have to skate so much harder. And I think that if you don't want to play 100% in hockey, you can still stop it up by checking a lot.
Right.
But you can't check on that big ice because then you don't have the energy to get down.
You got to put your head into them.
Right. Right.
It's the only way you can stop
it. I used to carry a knife.
Yeah,
you keep it real. Yeah. You know, keep it by your side.
A foreign object.
Right.
On the ice.
Yeah, I had a knife.
Whoa.
Right.
So the intramural league at Boston
U
is a tough league.
It was a tough league.
I got to tell you.
That might be the funniest thing we've heard in 20 episodes of this.
Yeah, it was pretty good. Now, we were, speaking of BU, you know KISS Boston, the radio station KISS, right? So I filled in for Sonny Joe White. Is that the guy?
Okay.
Yeah. So I filled in 1 week, and I don't even know how I did that. But anyway, I brought Jamie Masada with me from Laugh Factory. And Jamie's,
all the way to Boston?
Yeah. And he's on the show with me. And it was just...
Wait a minute. Yeah. Back up for a second. You get a gig at like the number one station in Boston. You're going to fly across the country. And you bring the most long-winded, pointless speaker.
It was a mistake.
Los Angeles.
It was a mistake. It was a huge mistake. But he used to do my show out here. He played his character Buddy Buddy. But I had him under control when I played out here.
Right.
I could kind of, you know, Jamie, shut up. You know, I could stop him.
Right.
But he gets to Boston, and he just started going off.
It was his big break.
Right. Yeah. He wanted to work the East Coast. And I'm going to set up a club. So he's on there. And, you know, I had a bunch of the guys on from BU because the Beanpot tournament was coming on.
Right.
And they were great. You know, the hockey guys are always fun to talk to. And it was great. And then I had some old Boston Bruins on, too. You know, and the town loved the shows I was doing. I don't think just because of me, but because I was having all these old Celtics on. You know, I had Dennis Johnson. I had all these guys.
You did?
Yeah.
Who'd you get from the Bruins?
Bruins, we had, what's his name? Cashman.
Wow.
Wayne Cashman.
Yeah. And wow. And a couple other guys, too. I can't remember everyone we
was
had.
Was he Cam Neely?
Was he playing
Cam Neely. He might have been. This was like...
I'm going to say that's a long time ago
like
when he was
years
playing.
Ago. No, it was he had stopped playing. But,
okay, yeah.
But
he played
the
like
shows
the
70s. Were fun. And Jamie kept... The buddy, let me tell you, the pot of beans, they are going to... He couldn't even say any of this stuff, right? So we go to the game. So they invite us to the game. So everybody in the place, because Jamie kept going, buddy, 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 buddy. That was his hook, right?
Yeah.
So we're at the game, and all these people in Boston are like, buddy, 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 buddy. There's that idiot from the show. They were like mocking us.
I can't believe you brought it. That's so... So funny.
It was hilarious.
Because I've done
man.
Podcasts at the Laugh Factory, and he comes up, and he's really funny, but only if you cut him off.
You
got to
cut him off. Yeah.
Yeah.
And in Boston, he just went berserk.
Yeah.
And I remember I had bikini day in Boston because it was like, you know, 20 below and tons of snow. So I said, whoever shows up in a bikini gets a free T-shirt from the station. And I had this company bring in sand and dump it in the parking lot like you made a beach. It was unbelievable.
And women showed up.
Women showed up. They had their coats on and they'd take them off. They'd have a bikini on. It was fun.
That's great.
Yeah, we had a great time. But Jamie, wow. And then the pot of beans, and he knows nothing about hockey.
So did you go to the – you went to the bean pot?
Yeah, it was
who
awesome.
Who won it this year?
No, this was years ago. Oh. I don't know who won this year. And I don't remember who won that, but I did, it was fun.
See, yeah. See, I would I the people in Minnesota would get mad, but I would like to have the bean pot winner go to the Olympics.
Well, we and talked about that American last week. Team. Right. He thinks that we should take the best college team and put them in.
But because, that's what he used.
Or the best amateurs to make an all-star team. Or I would even accept retired players if they want to play for
their
country.
Well, it should be retired. It should be anybody who's not currently taking a paycheck from the NHL. It should be college. It should be retired because the who the Canadians have this year who was – is Jágr no longer playing?
He was playing for Czechoslovakia.
Right, right, right. Take guys
but he's
like,
playing. He just gets 700 goals for the Devils.
Yeah. That was awesome.
And he took 3 years off to play in the KHL, and he lost 3 years due to work stoppages.
Yeah.
If he had six more years, he'd be right with Gretzky.
Right, yeah. Right, right. Yeah, but he'll never catch up to his assists. I mean, in terms of total points.
No, but goals. I mean.
Right. Goals, but not the assists.
No, not the assists.
Gretzky's 894 goals.
Yeah.
And Howe's right behind. Howe's 801.
But I think that when I was in college, we had a lot of players from BU play. Like the captain of the Olympic team, I think, was Clark Donatelli, and he was a BU player. We had John Cullen playing. We had like four guys from the BU squad playing on the Olympic team. And that's
Cullen was a good pro.
Yeah. I think we played for Hartford for
Yeah,
a few
the
years.
Penguins.
Right, right.
But I think the difference
he was in the Ron Francis trade that brought Ron Francis to Pittsburgh.
I think what we're talking about.
You know,
about.
By the way, just to go back, you know who he dated in college, who I was good friends with?
Ron Francis?
Carolyn Bessette, John F. Kennedy's wife.
What?
John F. Kennedy Jr.'s wife.
Really?
Right.
Carolyn Bessette is John F. Kennedy Jr.'s wife. The guy that crashed the plane.
And you guys were good friends?
Yeah, Carolyn was. She was, like, besides my wife, the most beautiful woman I've ever seen in my life.
Wow.
Incredibly
really?
Beautiful.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Awesome.
Even, like, California hot?
She was Connecticut hot, so she had that good breeding.
Connecticut's
got some
hot. She had
green eyes
hotties.
And dirty blonde, long, curly hair, and she was about 5'10".
And John Cullen used to put the biscuit in the basket with her?
He was the guy, man. He was the captain of the team at BU. And they got to understand something. Our football team, which doesn't even exist anymore, was a joke.
No, you guys are like...
So hockey was it.
But Boston is like on the level of like Duke, North Carolina when it comes to hockey.
Oh, they love hockey.
Yeah, I mean, they're a big-time hockey school. No, John Cullen was the man for the Penguins. And people were upset when he got traded a legend who's number three in all-time points, Ron Francis.
Right.
That was the big trade that made the Penguins a Stanley Cup winner.
Right.
Was they traded Cullen and Czarly Zalapski.
Right.
Now,
to the Hartford, the Whale in the mall. Did you ever go to the game in the mall?
Yeah.
Isn't that a crazy hilarious. Place for
yeah.
a game?
Yeah.
They had a rink in the mall?
And the Hartford was connected to a mall. I mean, like a typical East Coast mall, you know, with like a Sears and the JCPenney's. And
it's like old school. It
yeah.
wasn't even nice.
in a mall. It was the mall.
Wow.
And it was and Hartford used to put
could
up
you get a corn dog on the way to the game?
You could, in the bathroom, yeah, you could pay a guy. Could
Hartford used to put up some decent teams, though, but they'd never get, I mean, they were in the hardest division in those days. The Bruins and the Canadians, even Quebec was good.
Did Howe play for them?
Yeah, he came back, he played for them.
Yeah.
He was like 1 year back.
Now, what you were talking about with the Olympics, so yeah, it used to be college guys, right? But you were saying keep a whole team, send a whole team.
I think
that's
in
check. I like that.
That might be better because that's the one thing about all-star teams. They don't really have the chemistry going.
Right.
And if you send a full team, they've been playing all year, that might work better.
And think about how important then the college hockey national championship would be if that would determine the Olympic team.
Yeah.
That would get people way into college hockey.
So you send your college winner,
yeah.
to the Olympics.
And you could have a wild card line. Maybe you bring in like some ringers. Like you can bring in three ringers from other teams.
Remember in Little
scorers.
League Baseball, yeah. you could do that if you won the thing. You could bring in three
right.
guys, you know, or whatever. All stars.
Yeah, I like that because it is so much about chemistry. It is so much about and the Canadians, I believe, play together more as a national team in the off season than the Americans do, right?
Well, they all pretty much play the same, which is kind of nothing, to be yeah. honest with you. There's just
playing
a thing
golf.
In Canada where, you know, like Sid asked if Taze would mind because they named him the captain. Like everyone in Canada knows how important it is to win.
Yeah.
like, well, you know, like that's just it. I mean, there's no. That's
when they
why
played the Russians the first time, remember back in, what was it, 72, I think, the big summit series, or whatever they call it, they shut down Canada. They closed schools. Everyone just watched the game.
Right.
Shut everything. It was like a national holiday.
Yeah, but they take it so, I mean, that's they don't even, they can't even imagine. That's why they have those guys playing, you know, traps.
Right.
And they gave up 3 goals in the Olympics.
Right.
That's all they gave up. Wow.
I mean,
it's amazing.
Yeah, I mean, Carey Price isn't wah. I mean, they won it with Carey Price was injured, and he still shut everybody down.
He played pretty well.
Yeah, he did. But, I mean, he was injured, and he still – I mean, that's how little – I mean, the U.S., they didn't get – I mean, they had nothing on him. They got – their shots were like –
They got no shots, really.
Yeah, it was just like flood, like me taking shots on
Kane him. Would take it all the way down. He is an amazing skater.
Yeah.
And he'd take it all the way down, and then – no shot.
Well, they couldn't set up any offensive plays because it was just the
Canadian defense.
Their
was
defense
good.
Was so they're strong forwards. And the forecheck.
They used that
incredible.
Headbutting technique.
Right.
They're forwards.
I met with them before the game. I said, look, make sure you smoke pot every other game. You get distracted by any chick that's in the stands. These are my keys to high school hockey.
Yeah.
They're but their forwards all played incredibly back checking hockey. Because I still don't think their defense was the greatest head defenseman ever assembled. And I can't even believe Subban didn't get a sniff, the Norse trophy winner, but they just shut him. They shut people
How
down.
How about Drew Doughty?
Well, yeah, he was amazing.
He
pretty
was
awesome,
amazing.
Right?
He was amazing.
And he's been amazing since the break. I mean, he's been playing so well. And you know what I like about that guy? He's always laughing in the box. He's always having fun, doesn't he? You know, that to me, it gives you such a sense of the confidence of a player that they're not like rattled waiting to play.
But you know what? He said something interesting when they signed him. He didn't, when they first signed Doughty, he didn't play well for a couple of months.
His contract was on his head.
Yeah, that's what he said.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. He said, once I got that straightened out, he goes, I didn't feel like at first like I deserved that big contract.
Right.
He goes, I felt kind of shaky about it because I felt like I had to overperform every night to deserve it.
Yeah.
He goes, once I relaxed and settled in and just let it go, he goes, then I started playing.
Yeah.
I'm really happy. Obviously, you know, I'm a Kings fan. I'm really happy that they're playing a lot better because they were really looking like crap.
They were bad.
They were
break.
Looking like they were looking like one trade wasn't going to do anything for them. Now they look like a trade here and there, and they're right back in the Stanley Cup hunt. Well, completely.
They're not putting a lot of goals, not putting a lot of pucks in the net, but they're playing strong.
Yeah, and now, like, you know, before the break, I went to like 4 games in a row when only Kopitar scored.
Yeah.
He was the only guy that scored.
Right.
And now they got Doherty scoring. And then it was like, hey, he scored and Carter scored and Kopitar. But the other night they just had Richard scored and a couple other guys were putting the puck in. It's like they need that, Williams scored.
Well, and Dustin Brown is scoring again.
Yeah.
Dusty kind of came alive in the Olympics. So they benched him.
Yeah, well, that's.
But I didn't get that because he was playing well.
You know, right. You'll be hearing my vengeance over Blauzma possibly over the next 2 months.
You know,
if this Penguin ship hits the iceberg, like I think it's going to happen.
You think it will?
You
know who I thought
make some trades
look great was Carter.
Yeah. Yeah,
he always does though. I mean, except for the a little bit this season, he's so smooth.
In the Olympics, he looked great.
Yeah,
and I think that maybe turned his game around a little.
It always does. I mean, look when Lemieux played with Gretzky. In the 87 Canada Cup, it was like all of a sudden, like Lemieux came back, and then he was the best player in the world. You know what I mean? It's like it's like the NBA. Even in the NBA, they go away and they play together. Like Durant came back so much stronger after playing with LeBron. You know what I mean? It's like just hanging around with it. You learn what they do.
Probably, yeah.
So how'd you get so into hockey if you didn't play?
I just love the game. It's the only sport I used to play street hockey like every day.
Where'd you grow up?
Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And then there was like, before Lemieux came, there was 2 rinks.
Is that right?
Wow.
Yeah, that was it. Well, like 2.5. There was the one outside of South Park that was like, you could only go and play hockey on it at like 6 a.m. because other than that, it was like the free skate. And
do they have a minor league team there before the Penguins?
No. Well, they had... The Pittsburgh was actually in like the original 12 or whatever, but then after World War II, like everyone had to either go die in World War II or they had to be compressed. So that's where that's where the original 6 is. Like there was a bunch of teams before World War II, And then after World War II is when they were like, ah, there's only, you know what I mean? Like, you know, there's, like all sports leagues kind of went through that World War II. Like the NFL, like the Eagles and the Steelers compressed. And they, so anyway. And then, like, and then, but we always had a minor league team. Yeah, I guess you're right.
So you guys would go out in the street in your sneakers and just play street hockey.
Yeah, or take over a tennis court, or go in someone's driveway and just beat their garage door until someone's dad was pissed.
What is it, Pittsburgh? It seems like a very tough town. Like, you know, you look at it.
Yeah, I mean,
like
street hockey is just another way just to carry sticks and fight.
And fight by five breakout.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, constantly.
Why is it so angry? It's like an old city. Everyone's fucking old.
I think because, and now if you've been there recently, I'm not the tourism board, but if you go in the last 10 years, it's really like now it's the most livable city. There's tons of things to do for kids. When I grew up there, it was everyone worked in the mill and that was it.
Right.
And all you did was drink and fight.
Right.
And
that's why they're angry.
And that was it. I mean, it's not even so much angry, like we hate everything. It was just kind of like, what else are you going to do?
Hey, like, you know, I like those sandwiches with the coleslaw.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. No, I mean, now there's so many
Polish people living up in the hills and they were mining and there was just, I think it was a lot of like fighting between immigrant groups that would come in waves.
Yeah.
And they would fight for these mining jobs.
Yeah. Because now, I mean, now there's like the pit became high tech. And now there's a million high tech jobs there now. So now there's more Asians and Indians and stuff. But when I was growing up there, there was just like Italians and Irish and Polish and German and blacks. And that was like, there was no, I never met a Jew.
Were they black or were they just, they no, just worked the shift?
No, yeah. But I mean, they were black. But I mean, like, I never met a Jewish person until I went to college.
Right.
Wow.
Like, you'd never beat up a Jewish person until college?
I never met one. I don't think I've ever beat up a Jewish person. they don't play sports. Right. Never had to.
Right.
Has there been a Jewish...
No one ever took the puck off me that was Jewish.
Has there been
or the
Jewish...
orange ball.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Has there been a Jewish star in the NHL?
Gordie Howe.
Gordie?
Gordie Howe is Jewish.
Was he?
Yes.
I have no idea. I'm sure there's been. I have no idea.
Yeah. I totally made that up.
Oh, okay.
It just sounds like Gordie. Gordie, you've got to learn your... You got your bar mitzvah coming up.
He would have been a dentist if he was that driven.
Right.
He wouldn't.
Right.
You know what I mean?
I met him. Met him.
I know. He's a big fan of Frazier.
I was at a... Oh, yeah. We're
he's
buddies.
A golfer, right?
He plays golf, yeah. Yeah. And I was at a function. I sat between him and Gretzky.
Wow.
They elbowed the shit out of me. It was ridiculous. And then Gretzky, I told you this, was bugging me to play his then girlfriend's record. He was dating some singer in Canada.
Yeah.
She was a new Anne Marie.
Yeah.
According to him. And
you need a new one.
He knew I was a DJ and he was like, dude, can you play this? And I go, yeah, sure. You know, you're at the thing, you're figuring I'll never see him again. Sure, great one. And then he calls me one day on the hotline.
No shit. Yeah.
You know. So, because he was friends with Robitaille, and Robitaille was my buddy. So he got my number from Robitaille. So he calls me up on the show. He goes, are you ever going to play that? Come on, you told me you were going to play it. And Gordie was there. He heard it. I'm like, what? I can't even believe I'm hearing this. So then I played half of it, and I told you the boss called me and told me to take it off.
We got to get this cut, though.
I said to the boss, I go, but it's the great one. He goes, I don't give a shit. Take it off or you're fired.
He's dating the lousy one.
We got to get that track. We so got to get
that. We got to find out who that was. I can't remember who it was.
We have to see if...
Still can't believe that. He had a copy with him.
Wow. Here,
take this. It was vinyl.
Wow.
Today I would have an excuse. Well,
see, that's also why you see the tenacity of somebody who becomes as successful as him, that he would call, not only give you the record, but call to follow up.
Yeah.
Like, you think about what makes people successful in life. It's talent, but it's that drive. You know, he approaches everything in his life the same way, whether it's getting his girlfriends or following up on a slap shot. You know, it's just like that.
You know, I hung out with him a little bit because we went to Jerry Buss. I knew he was coming to L.A. because Jerry Buss was wining and dining him. Because I told you this, I was buddies with Pat Hughes, who was like a role player guy for Edmonton when they were great. And Pat was a good player. He played for Michigan College, and he could play, but he was like fourth line, you know. But he and Gretzky were great friends. So that I go to watch Pat play when they played the Oilers, and then we go out afterwards, and Buss would send a limo. So I'd be in Gretzky, me and Pat Hughes, and one of my buddies, you know, we go to a private club in Beverly Hills, and it was unbelievable. But you could see what you're saying when you're talking to a guy like Gretzky. He seems so mild mannered and polite, but there's that driven nature. You could just see it, and also he was intense about life. You know, right. It doesn't seem like he would be because he seems mild-mannered, but, man, that guy.
I think it's funny that you said, like, he's a fourth-line guy and he's friends with Gretz. All the third and fourth-line guys are always best friends with the superstars.
Sure, or else
they wouldn't
be on
the team. They wouldn't be on the team.
He used to drive them to practice.
Yeah.
Because I used to say,
they'll find somebody else on the fourth line that'll drive them to practice.
Yeah, I go, don't ever stop doing that or you're not going to be on the team.
Yeah, exactly. No, I'm telling you,
when I was a stand-up, I was first starting out, and the way you would get work, because it was – you know, there were headliners that were – there was, you know, maybe a dozen headliners in Boston that meant something. And, you know, Don Gavin and Steve Sweeney and guys like
all
that.
All those guys
Lenny
are great.
Lenny Clark.
Yeah.
But they all drank their asses off, and they'd all lost their driver's licenses. So there was a million opening acts, me, Joe Rogan, Tom Cotter. We all came up at the same time. Bill Burr. And so basically to get a gig, to make the $50, to drive to New Hampshire – for $50 from Boston, you had to drive the headliner because they'd all lost their licenses. And so that was it. That was the gig. It's like you become friends with that headliner and you take him there, you get him drinks, you try to get him laid, and then he brings you back to open for
that's
him.
Like awesome. That's every day. I did that in San Francisco though.
Right.
Yeah, for everybody. That's like I think that's every.
Who were the big headliners?
Well, you know, Jim Short.
Right.
N'Gayo Bealum.
Right.
Robert Hawkins.
Uh-huh.
Arj Barker.
Mm-hmm. Arj Barker.
Yeah. And a bunch of them that no one, believe me, will ever know. But they're big in the white trash 1 hour out of town San Francisco circuit.
Well, I'm from Detroit. I'm from Detroit, and I made Tim Allen drive me.
Come on,
bro. I need a ride. Yeah. You got to come up to the
suburbs.
Who
else came out of Detroit?
Coolier. Uh-huh. Let's see. David Allen Greer.
Do you know, you're not going to believe this, Alanis Morissette, you know her famous breakup
with
song?
With Coolier, yeah.
That was about Coolier.
Yeah.
I just found that out. I just did this gig. I was doing this big benefit the other night, and she was in the audience, and I was dying a horrible death because it was all these billionaires, and it was the Four Seasons. And they're all schmoozing it up, and they told them to be quiet to start the show. And I'm just emceeing. I'm bringing people up. And so I can't get them shut up.
Those are tough. Yeah.
But there was like four or five tables that were laughing hysterically. I don't know if it was with me or at me, but Alanis Morissette was one of them, and she could not have been cooler. And she came up to me. We hung out.
She seems cool.
Yeah.
Doesn't she? Yeah.
Yeah. And then I was looking her up online, and I found that out about
Coolier. Yeah.
I mean, that's crazy.
Yeah, it's a wild story.
Looking for some good pictures and end up with that bit of knowledge.
Right. I just need one good picture. All of a sudden, I'm looking at Coolier.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a scary thought. You know, although I thought that was really funny, the bit they did to promote Fallon coming on, where they had the Full House guys. Did you see that?
Yeah.
That was pretty clever.
Yeah, I
thought, you know.
Well, if you think about it, Coolier is probably the only one. He's not getting any real traction since then. Saget's. Well, obviously, John Stamos done well. None of them have really done that well, but I think that Coolier has done the least well of them.
Probably, but he's real talented.
He's the trivia question.
Yeah, he's talented.
Yeah.
Who's the other guy?
I've never seen him do
stand-up. Oh, yeah, he's talented. Yeah. And he does.
Does he
great.
Play hockey?
He does play. And he's
good, I think.
He plays with the Red Wings.
He practices
with the Red Wings, and he can skate.
Yeah.
He was a great high school player and in Michigan and played for a Country Day, who was like the top team there in high school.
Country Day seems to run every hockey establishment.
Yeah. Because we have our own rinks.
Yeah, that's what it is. And and they told him, put your head down.
Use your helmet.
He's a good
You went
player.
That pretty face.
And he still plays. He still plays with all the, you know.
Wow.
The retired guys, retired Red Wings.
Have you ever done a celebrity hockey game?
No, back in Boston, I used to play, and it was like Stephen Wright would play.
Wow, Stephen Wright would
Dennis
play?
Dennis Leary and Burr.
I played with Burr. out here a bunch. I haven't played in a
played
while.
That Burbank game?
Yeah.
I used to play in that. It was midnight on a Monday, though.
Yeah.
I was like, I can't handle it. I live on the west side. But, yeah, I used to play in that game, and Ian Bagg would play.
Yeah, Bagg. We always thought Bagg always played at, like, even less than half speed.
Bagg's pretty good, right?
Bagg was the best.
Is good. Well, he started playing goalie because he was so bored playing with those hacks. But when I was in New York, I played on a team that was a celebrity league. It was actually a policeman-fireman league, but our team was like me, Ian Bagg, and Tim Robbins.
Oh, really?
And I played defense. Me and Tim played defense together. And he was, you know, he's like 6'5", so he had a good reach, but he was not a good skater. And so we won, me and Ian. And
did you carry a knife on those games?
I carried a knife just to get him to move. Yeah. I was like, come on, Tim, come on.
Just to get a part.
And so we ended up winning the league. And so Tim took us all out to the best steakhouse in New York.
Nice.
And he had cigars. I mean, because the thing is, you know, he's best friends with Messier and all the Rangers.
No, I had no idea.
Yeah, he's a huge hockey fan. As a matter of fact, his house upstate, he floods the backyard and he makes a rink and him and his kids play. But, I mean, he's at every game and his wife, Messier's wife, used to play on this other league I played in. It was
Messier's
intramural
married?
League.
Married?
Yeah.
I didn't know. I did not
Veronica.
Know that. Wow.
And she was a good player. So anyway, he took us out to this dinner, and he was like, he's like, this of all the shit I've won, he's like, this is like the most excited I've ever been.
He dug it. Yeah, great. Yeah. That's awesome.
Nothing like hockey. Yeah.
No, it's great.
When I scored my first goal in that Comic League Birds, like, you've seen a smile on your face. It was like you won the Stanley Cup.
Yeah, man, of course. What is, who do you think the best celebrity player is? I always ask that.
Michael J. Fox.
Oh, is he? Well,
isn't he where he was? I don't know.
Yeah,
how he
probably
anymore.
Was. Yeah.
I think he was really good.
Yeah, he probably played a lot of hockey.
Martin St. Louis, a little short guy with a probably skilled as hell, right? And Michael J. Fox is like this big.
Right.
You know, but that doesn't stop anybody in hockey.
Coulier might be one of the best. He plays
sounds like
pretty high level.
Those guys.
Yeah.
What was it like? What was the police firemen's league? They would get into it, huh? I'm pretty sure.
They get into it, and the toughest team was there was an FBI team. Literally, New Jersey said
the
FBI
feds.
On.
Wow.
These guys were such assholes.
I can imagine.
I mean, it was a non-checking league, and these guys would follow you into the corner and light you up. It was like, and you couldn't argue with them.
Of course, yeah.
And this was pre-9/11.
So they had a lot of time on their hands.
So they had time on the right. They weren't that busy back then.
They're triangulating you from the bench. Exactly. They're track you down, man.
Yeah, we found bugs. They knew what plays we were going to run.
Yeah. Sure.
He found, they found
the bench's bug.
Banned substance. Hey, what's this in your bag? Oh, look at this. Federal narc charge.
And then there was another league I played in out here that was more agents. There was a lot of agents and managers.
So that must have been fun just to drill them.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. They were very litigious. It was always about arguing the call.
Oh, sure,
Well, that's in the Comics Basketball League. They let a bunch of agents in, like, last season.
Right.
And now everyone bitches about them.
Yeah.
It's like, well, you guys let them in.
Right. Or worse was when I used to ref the intramural games, there was a BU the law school had a team. And they argued. It was like, guys, you're being a cliche of yourself. Yeah. And then they would get into and then there was the frat guys who would have a team, and they would get into fights, and I got suspended as a ref because this fraternity got into a fight with another fraternity, and I was breaking up the fight, and I got punched, so I started punching the other guy.
Oh, yeah.
And then I got suspended for fighting as a ref.
Wow.
By Frank Santarelli's wife, who was the head of the intramural.
Is that right, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Frank
Small
Santarelli
world.
Was a famous comic. If you don't know him, he was a bartender in The Sopranos.
Yeah. His wife ran the league.
She ran.
That's a tough league when Frank's wife
is running.
Bring your knife to the meeting.
Right.
To the ref meeting.
Yeah. I played against my agent. I still couldn't get a hold of him.
Right.
I tried.
You're calling for the puck. He's ignoring you.
He's taking 10% of your stats. What?
Hey, come on.
Come on, man.
You're trying to throw him in the boxes to get 2 minutes with him.
Look, you got to get me some bookings.
Follow him in the
shower. Man.
I love beer league hockey just because of all the craziness. It's like all the psychos just come out, you know.
We used to play a midnight game. You know, it was just like we would rent the ice time at BU. at midnight it was open, so we grabbed it on like a Tuesday night. So we used to play every week, and we used to get cases of beer in the box and just drink, and no helmets.
Yeah.
And I've got, I don't know if you can see the scar, but I got 11 stitches across my
forehead. Yeah, well, a little bit
from just a kid who, you know, just sloppy, turned around with his stick up in the air, and it came slapping down across my forehead, and I'm at the in the emergency room.
That's the other thing about intramurals. There's really no fundamentals
for
a lot of these guys, and they've been drinking.
They've been drinking. So, they don't know how to play.
Yeah, it's easier to get hurt playing with a bunch of fools like me than it is to get hurt with the kids. The real guys know how to play.
Right.
Well, and you can,
no, it's the truth.
You can get accidentally high stick just by someone who's trying to catch their balance.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah, that's, yeah, you know, exactly.
You've seen me play.
I've seen everybody play in those leagues. It's like, come on. There's usually one or two good guys, and the rest are floundering.
Right.
Yeah, I would do just as good, like, in tennis shoes.
Probably. Well, I thought it was cool that Babcock, you know, for the Canadian Olympic team, had them play street hockey at first to get used to playing with each other.
Is that right?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah. And some of the guy, I read a quote from Crosby who said that, you know, he was saying that he didn't want to do it. He goes, that's stupid. That's childish. And then he later said, no, it was good workout. I learned some stuff.
We should get a podcasting team together.
Yeah, there you go.
I mean, Burr's got a podcast.
Play. Yeah.
Who else?
I don't need another show. I got to book people on that. Start booking a team.
You booked this show?
Well, actually, Frasier did.
You booked me.
Well, I booked this one, yeah. But I mean,
that was
this
good
one,
booking.
Yeah, it was a great
We've
booking.
We've had some good booking.
Yeah, no, but it's like, you know how hard it is to get, like,
it's the worst part.
To get people that you want to have.
I hate booking it.
Because you want to get good people.
Right.
And good people are busy.
Yep.
Well,
you feel like, in this case, I loved coming in, but, you know, I feel like I'm calling in favors, you know, and I don't want to, like, you don't know if people really want to come in or if they're doing it because they like you, and, you know, like, I love coming in on this.
That's why we try to make it as fun as possible.
I'm a fan of your stand-up, and a lot of people are, and your stand-up's awesome. But
thank you.
Yeah, but I had never talked to you about sports, really, and I was impressed at how much you knew about the Olympics.
Right, I get really into it.
Yeah,
we could have been talking about any of the Olympics, but I don't know why I got obsessed. I was watching and I was watching the obviously. Here's the thing about the Olympics: is you watch them, and I just kept feeling like at the end I was like shit, I forgot to try really hard at something. Like
I feel the same way after watching the Oscars.
Right, right. You know? It's like that was an option to be excellent.
Yeah.
And so I got, after a while, I got kind of burnt on watching them.
Especially in the winter ones, because that's more, there's a lot of that one's kind of like luck or just balls.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like in the summer, like I could train my whole, I'm never going to run. You know what I mean? Like, I can't do most of those or swim that good. But I could sit in a bobsled.
Bobsled I could do.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, I've actually done the bobsled in high school. I had a 64 Mustang, and it would stall out in an intersection. And we'd all have to jump out, push it as fast as we could, jump back in again. And so I was saying on stage.
It's good training.
They should finish the sport outright. You should have, on the way down, you should have to roll a joint, scrounge for change for some gas money, and try to get a hand job.
And yell to the driver, pop the clutch. Yeah, man. It's funny, though, because I heard a lot of people say, well, we don't like the Winter Olympics. And then a couple days later, they'd be into it.
Yeah.
You know, they'd be like, oh, I was watching this, and then I saw, you know, it kind of catches you.
Some of them are incredibly redundant. Like, the bobsled really is, like, after the initial running of the bobsled, you can't tell the difference between a good run and a bad run.
Yeah, they all look the same.
And I think, you know, and skiing is great, except, like, I'm so afraid they're going to fall and die. You want them to ski hard, but you know the conditions were shit. It was like 50 degrees out.
Oh, that was like
they
ice.
Hated that.
We go from slush in the sun to ice in the shade.
Yeah.
And it was kind of like, I just felt bad for these athletes that train so hard. And like, in one pass, they fall. And it's, like the figure skating, I'd be so anxious. Like, these poor people, they've given their, because figure skating, they really are training for like 4 years. For
and they're
one
just
moment.
Such little kids, basically, too. It's
right.
Like, I feel bad for the figures. The men, I don't, because I don't like men, but the girls, I always just feel so bad for them.
Right.
Like,
well, and a lot of times they'll blow it at the very end. They'll have a great routine, and then their final deal,
that Canadian broad was sexy.
Oh, I gotta say,
the one that was dancing.
Oh, and when she would do her spins, it seemed like a G-string by the end. I kept thinking there was like a slip, and I was looking for it, the camel toe. I really could be obsessed. I'm watching with my wife and my daughter, and I'm staring at her crotch trying to see her pussy. It was like so wrong.
But it is part of the Olympics.
It is. Hey,
definitely.
Yeah.
It's what we're all there for.
Yeah. I'm not even watching this.
It brings in the ratings.
Yeah.
It really does. That's why they it's like the whole reason why they do – like the Olympics would lose money. It's like college. It's like the whole. It's like there'd be no college athletics if it wasn't for football,
right?
Well,
That's like if there was no ice skating, there'd be no Winter Olympics,
right?
Like that drives
you think
every.
That's the tent pole.
Yeah, because that's what gets all the women. That's what drives all the ratings. That's
and
how they.
Men will,
that's what
men caused. See those pussies.
That's what caused my tent pole.
Yeah.
Now,
ladies
folks,
and gentlemen.
Come on, jokes. Well, somebody had a good line though. I think it was Conan had a line where he goes, "The hotel rooms were so small and so-she that even the bobsledders felt cramped."
That's a good one.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
There you go.
Because I guess so-she, you know, came out looking a little weird.
I thought, well...
Yeah, they were calling it so-so by the end.
Yeah.
Well, I know Mike Milbury, who would complain about anything. He'd complain about heaven if he got in there. He said he had a marvelous time.
No,
he wouldn't change anything.
He was so positive about the Olympics. I was like, who is this?
Yeah. I was shocked. I mean, you know, he hates Russian players.
Right, right.
Yeah, he wasn't... It was like, it was kind of creepy.
It
like,
was.
They got him the best hooker in Russia. To shut him up. I mean, Putin's girlfriend must have been with Milbury. I mean,
isn't it weird when you see what was happening with the Ukraine and you realize, like, as dour as Putin always is, he was so serious during the Olympics. You realize, oh yeah, he's dealing with a civil war. I mean, not technically, but essentially, the Ukraine represents a big part of the Russian
economy. No, he needs
economy.
A distraction.
You want to talk about the Dallas third checking line? I know everything. You want to talk about politics?
Well, but I will tell you this.
No, I'm just kidding.
I will tell you this, though. Putin came in.
Who's from Ukraine? What center?
Putin came in halfway through that hockey, that USA hockey thing.
They
made a big deal about him walking into the arena.
Right.
And he came in just after they scored, and he was like a little kid. He was jumping up and
was
down, high-fiving everybody. Yeah, he loved it.
Yeah.
And then later when they disallowed that goal, remember that thing where they came off the pipe? Then he was pissed.
Yeah.
And they showed him in the stands. He was grumpy. And then he left. He left early.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. He was like, an L.A. fan.
Yeah, he was.
Then the Russian press got on it, and they were saying that it was some kind of collusion. And it was like, no, it's a rule.
It's a rule.
It's a standard
international rule.
Fucking international rule. If it comes off the post, you know.
But it was still on. That's why even the NHL, it's like even the rules are just kind of stupid. Because it still was on.
Right?
Halfway on.
It wasn't, but it wasn't off.
Well,
I thought they kind of got jobbed there, but it is the rule. It is the rule, but they kind of got jobbed.
What are you, some kind of commie pinko?
Yeah, come on.
Yeah, I just wanted to see them advance.
I know.
Yeah, well, I wanted to see a couple more interesting games,
right.
You know. You know, whatever it takes.
I'm glad we beat him, though, because I like TJ Oshie now.
Oh, my God.
That guy's awesome.
Yeah,
How weird is it, though? I was trying to figure out which three players they were going to pick, and... He was not on my list.
No, I wouldn't have picked him. I didn't know he was as good at that.
Well, statistically,
as
he was up at around 40%, and the other guys were all into 30%.
It really is the Dan Bylsma school of hockey, though, not to change anything and just keep going the same thing and like hitting your head against the wall.
Right.
That was
if you're a Penguins fan, you would understand his.
Every player's got two or three decent moves to score with, and to send him in there a fourth and fifth time. The goalie's got to read him, but it worked.
Well, yeah, you know, he shot the five hole like two or three times, and it still went in.
Right.
And that's a good goalie.
Yeah.
That goalie's good. So this guy's got to be good at
those
that.
Those guys are they got such hands, though. Like, they can, it's like waiting them out. If he can't wait the goalie out, his hands are sweet enough.
He was actually behind the net when he shot the last one.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah.
But you know what? It was an exciting moment in the Olympics, wasn't it?
The only one, basically.
Yeah, it was exciting.
I hate shootouts, though.
I usually hate them, too, but that was fun.
Yeah.
He's our old school captain.
I'm
the original
anti-shootouts.
Six. Anti-shootout.
Right.
Well, I think I'd like to see the overtimes go longer. But I do like, and like the loser, no one get a loser point, but I do like to see somebody win and somebody lose so people don't go to the games and it's a 2-2 tie.
Right.
You know, something had to, Yeah. If something had to give on that tie thing.
Right. I don't know, but I feel like the Olympics is based on, you know, the 26-mile run by the guy that has to tell, you know, the original Greek runner who had to tell him about war. And I feel like the game should just go overtime, no clock, first one to score.
I like that.
Well, I agree with that, too.
Yeah, I like that.
I agree with that 100%. But, you know, newspapers and no one wants that.
Right.
I mean, people don't want that. I mean, they don't want in the regular season. They don't want that. That's why playoff hockey is the best.
What's amazing is that they didn't show commercials at all.
That was the only, between periods. Yeah. That was the only cool thing. I don't know. I don't like how the season got ripped up. I'm just starting to get back into it now. When I watch hockey all day long. So it was like for 3 weeks, it was like I actually got stuff done.
I was going to say, that's time consuming, man. I never watch games.
Yeah.
You have kids?
Yeah, well, I have one kid, but
I have an ignored kid.
I have one kid.
She went to her first game, though.
She loves hockey.
Yeah, she
How
went
old
to
is
see.
She?
She's nine.
Okay, I
got. She went to a Kings
girl.
Game yeah. recently, and she yeah. had a great time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, she loves the Pens and she likes the Kings, and she's into it. No, but like that's a, I have I've been hitting the head a few times, so my ears always ring. So when I work, I always have something. I can't have silence, so I always just TiVo games and watch them all day long.
Yeah,
and, like just watching the NHL Network all day long.
Yeah,
because I can't have like silence. Like I have to have a radio on and the TV
or your
on.
Ears ring.
Yeah, my ears ring.
How'd you get hit in the head?
Yeah, playing street hockey is one of the couple times
serious?
I got. Oh, yeah.
Street hockey's brutal.
You got a big head,
yeah.
too.
Yeah, look at my nose, man. The puck doesn't
big
miss my
nose.
It doesn't miss it.
And you got that Pittsburgh. You've got a grown out mullet, essentially.
Oh, yeah. Oh, dude, I had a mullet for years. I had a mullet.
Sure, you did.
Rocking the Jager
right,
mullet.
Right.
Yeah.
Of course, man.
He's so Pittsburgh. But your head, you must have a hard time finding hats that fit your head.
Yeah, they all kind of give me a headache because they're all tight.
Right.
Yeah.
Your head's enormous.
You're right. I know.
Did you ever weigh it?
No, I don't even know how you do that.
You should weigh your head.
How do you do that, though?
Just lay down and put your head on the scale.
No, that's a comics joke, actually.
It's Frank Santarelli.
Oh, really?
Right.
How about his wife?
Oh, because I thought it was somebody else's.
I can't remember how it goes.
So I'm glad it's Frank's.
He had some joke about weighing his head. I can't remember what it was.
No, because literally, yeah.
His wife ran the league.
That's right.
His wife was, yeah. I'm going to say anything about Frank. He'll
yeah,
be in the fucking Boston River.
I think that's he actually is in The Sopranos. I work with him a couple times. He's awesome.
He's great.
He's funny.
So
yeah.
funny.
He's
awesome.
He's
yeah.
so funny.
And it's all delivery. He's just like.
Yeah, he's great.
Totally original.
This has been an awesome episode.
Man, it was fun, wasn't it?
Yeah, I'm glad,
really
I'm glad,
glad
you
came
glad
on.
Glad you found some parking.
I'm honored. Thanks for inviting me
on. No, this was great.
Our pleasure.
This was great.
Do you want to plug any of your stuff?
Sure, yeah. My podcast is called Fitzdog Radio. It's on twice a week. I have, who did I just have on? Jimmy Kimmel's coming on a couple
wow,
of weeks.
Wow, great.
I have, you know, Sarah Silverman and John Hamm and I said Bobcat Goldthwait. He was good.
I bet he was great.
Oh, Jane Bobcat's Hook. The
yeah.
best.
So, yeah, check it out. And then also my, I have a new album, a new 1 hour special from Comedy Central is now on Netflix.
Awesome.
Life on Stage. Check that out. Follow me on Twitter at Greg Fitz Show. And other than that, just, support live comedy.
Yeah.
And support live hockey.
Yeah, but
yeah.
There you go. And put your head down.
Yeah.
Keep your head down.
Keep your
Get
head
under
down.
The chin.
All right, Fitz, thanks for joining
yeah,
us, man.
Thank
we
you
really
so much.
Appreciate it.
That's
and
great.
And Joey, thanks again. Great show.
Thank
and,
you. Yeah, fun. I'll be in.
Hey, I want to congratulate you. You got Gotham.
Yeah, live at Gotham.
That's great.
March 20th.
Great.
And then I'll be on tour all spring with the Monday Morning Podcast Presents tour, all Bill Burr's favorite openers.
Awesome.
I'm one of them. So come out and check great. That out. And our captain, once again, excellent job. The original six.
Thanks, guys.
Pulling
I'll,
it together.
I'll be at the Ha Ha Club in on Lancashire. Thanks for joining us. You guys are awesome.
Thanks, guys.
Puck off.
God bless America.